All right, everybody, welcome back to our special edition of the Crypto Rundown, where I am your host, taking off the producer hat, put on the host hat, TiVo here, and we have Brian and Joe, our Crypto Navy SEALs, our Crypto Mavericks, the guys in the trenches. It's been a couple weeks since we had them on. We kind of teed up the pump fun conversation last time we had everybody on, which was super exciting. We're going to unpack what happened with you with that there. So we'll get a full update. We'll touch on a little macro stuff. I know we got some Pudgy Penguin. It wouldn't be a rundown without talking about Pudgy Penguin, to be completely honest at this point. And just a lot of good fun. You guys said you wanted more. We're back, Brian and Joe. We're going to be doing this possibly weekly, if not multiple times a month for sure. So super excited about it. Welcome back, Brian. What's going on?
What's up, boys? Happy to be here.
Love that. Joe, how we doing? Glasses look good today?
Dude, things are popping off. It's super exciting to be here.
It is. It's exciting times. I know, well, fun fact for the audience, we had a cool event last week for the team. It went really great. But it was the first time that we actually all got to meet in person, which I thought was really cool and special. So the synergy is high. And what better way to meet than, you know, the meme coins were taking off. There were some crypto stocks that some of us were involved in that were absolutely rocketing while we were together. And of course, you know, Ethereum making its big move as well last week, and we were all together for it. So, I think it's important when we have different personalities on, you know, whether it's Bryce, Brendan, myself, you guys, to always just touch on the macro. So let's, Joe, I'll toss it to you first. You know, we'll get to the trenches later, if you will. But you know, what was your take last week on the price movement at a higher level for Bitcoin and Ethereum? What were you seeing?
Yeah, definitely just a blow off top release valve. Everyone was hoping that Ethereum was going to do anything, something, but to see all the ETH treasury companies, and you mentioned we got in on one, which absolutely did well, was exciting to see. And we saw all of those gains rotate into meme coins and into NFTs, believe it or not. We're going to talk about some massive NFT purchases. So it's just great to see Ethereum having life again. So super excited to dive into that.
Brian, what were you seeing?
Yeah, it was epic times, man. I mean, first off, it was great to finally meet you guys in person. So we know that we're all like real living beings, not just this digital identity, we like to call it. But it was a heck of a time to be in the market. Like you said, we had treasury. So we talked about in the rundown last time, we had a whole bunch of treasury stocks, treasuries adding Bitcoin and Ethereum to their balance sheets. TradeFi felt like a meme coin charts, half of these. Ethereum popping off caused the catalyst with meme coins, caused it with NFTs. I'll just say it time and time again. If someone's not paying attention to the cryptocurrency market or they've been on the sidelines for a while, it is absolutely time to start paying attention because some of these are going to absolute rocket ship.
Yeah, and I'll pull up just that coin market cap chart here. And as you can see, just, you know, a little bit of a rest day, I guess, if you will, across the board per se. But, you know, that 7 day, you're starting to see those, you know, 16% for Doge in the meme coin world. BNB, I believe, hit a new all-time high this week, maybe yesterday or today. XRP obviously tapped that. Bitcoin as well hovering around it. And Ethereum seems to be running towards that all-time high as well. It wants to break out. Obviously, we hit some resistance there. I think Brendan actually teed that up for us yesterday when we put out that episode. And I guess just a little teaser for tomorrow. So tomorrow, Brendan's going to be back with us, and we are going to be doing our technical analysis portion of the program tomorrow. So I know ETH's a hot topic of kind of seeing where that resistance is and what Brendan might see. But when it comes to the ETFs, Brian, we were talking about this in the pregame here. The ETF flow has been... I guess nonstop is an understatement. We'll pull up the charts here, but I know you love looking at this stuff. And as you can see here, that all-time chart, you know, huge dip in October 24 when it was out launched, another dip in the spring this year. But I mean, this is hockey stick type stuff here.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. And regarding the macro market, I'm a little bit selfishly happy that we had a little bit of a pullback today, because yesterday, I mean, last night, we were trading Bitcoin well over 120. It's been nothing but a straight line. So it's nice to see a little bit of a pullback. You know, give these institutions a chance to hit some bids. I wouldn't be surprised to see us go to like 114 Bitcoin or 34, 35 ETH and then fire back up above 120 and hold it. And these ETFs are super telling. You're looking at the Ethereum ETFs. I think they have had a 12-day streak, I think, of just net inflows. Like you said, an absolute hockey stick. We got treasury companies adding Ethereum. It's just a bull time to be talking Ethereum and all things Ethereum ETFs. Surprisingly enough, and we talked about this on the last rundown, TiVo and Joe, how the Ethereum ETFs were closing the gap with the Bitcoin ETFs. And I was like, it's just going to be a matter of time until they flip each other. And we did see just past couple of days, some negatives in the Bitcoin ETFs. Nothing to be alarmed about, but we're still seeing positive flow into ETH ETFs. Bulling me up for everything really meme coin and NFT related. And of course, we all love to talk about an alt season. This is the beginning of it. This is what we want to see. A little bit of Bitcoin dominance pullback. Some of these alternative assets looking at 100, maybe 1,000 exits. Who the heck knows?
Phew. All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Joe, are you kind of reading the tea leaves here on the Ethereum ETFs? You getting excited about that? What's your visionary there?
Yeah, no, I saw Ethereum just absolutely steal mind share in a world of meme coins and NFTs this last week. Everyone put on a Pudgy Penguin NFT as a profile picture. Shout out to Hedge Fund Summit. I just did an interview with Egan Layer. I asked him, I was like, hey, you got an ETH NFT profile picture? He's like, yep, I do. Same thing. Is it Tom Lee or Tim Lee? He's got a Pudgy Penguin. Pudgy Penguin's an Ethereum-based NFT. That thing rocketed, and it's just basically all over the timeline. Coinbase changed their profile picture to Ethereum-based NFT. You know, it's crazy Ethereum times when everyone's flexing Ethereum NFTs again.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I kind of felt this week, whether it was TradFi or crypto, like that was such a great move. I mean, over the last month, really, or since the bottom of Liberation Day. And, you know, I was kind of levered up. Brent and I were talking about this on the program the other day, where I was like, I had to set some, and I think I told you guys even last week, I was like, I set some bids, some sell, you know, limits, and they got a little bit of them got triggered, but there's no shame in that, right? It just kind of felt like it was that time where it was like, man, like what a run. And then I was watching TV this morning and I saw this while I was drinking my coffee, and I was like, yeah, you know, when this guy starts talking about he wants to buy Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, That means the secret's kind of out. So here's everybody's favorite counter trade guy, Jim Cramer, talking about Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Own some as a hedge against the $37.8 trillion. They want to own a debt. They want to own it for their kids. And you know who else feels that way? Me. I don't want that debt. My kids. I'm worried about my kids.
So the sound wasn't too good there, but I'll pump it up in post. But it was basically Jim saying, hey, worried about the debt for my kids. You know, everybody's buying Bitcoin, Ethereum, and, you know, I am too. So, you know, he has the fade Jim Cramer ETF and all that stuff. So always a fun thing when Jim comes out and says he's buying something, and then that same day it's down 4%. But thoughts, Ryan?
It's truly amazing. Jim Cramer in the counter trade. I mean, you couldn't, it's just amazing stuff. So it does make me a little nervous whenever he comes out and says that he's buying Bitcoin and ETH. But I don't even know if the Jim Cramer curse could stop us right now. Things feel pretty bullish.
Yeah, and we've played the clips on the rundown the last couple of weeks of, you know, yeah, the Tom Lees of the world. And I played Steve Grasso the other day, another guy on television. Just in the Fox Business clip, I think we played a couple weeks ago. Just it's people's the narrative's back of Bitcoin, Ethereum is the big ones, but also altcoins as well, right? So we're pulling up something here where the Google Trends, and I was a firm believer in Google Trends just as a data point. I don't think it's necessarily going to tea leave you to give you all the answers you need, but I remember we had a little bit of a debate between. Maybe it was in the group chat, or I know Bryce, Brendan, and I were like using it, and like people would say, oh, this data is not good anymore because everybody knows what Bitcoin is, and so they're not going to search it. And I was like, okay, but that doesn't mean it you can't use it. Like even if it's not going to go back up to its 5-year all-time high with Bitcoin specifically, like that doesn't mean people aren't going to be searching for Bitcoin news, or they're not going to be searching just Bitcoin price in general is something that would trigger, you know, this data point. And then sure enough, when, you know, Bitcoin started rocketing, you know, you can tell in the data. And so I think it's really interesting now that altcoins are showcasing kind of the same thing after we've had a big move. I guess that means the public is aware of what's going on. And so I don't think that should sway you one way or another to make rash decisions, but I think it is interesting to see that, especially when we've having a lot of success in you know, bigger names like Ethereum and also the meme coin market. So what are your thoughts, guys, on Google Trends, and is it something that you kind of add into your data points to figure out, you know, your formula, or is it something that you just completely ignore?
I know Coinbase was an indicator in the past. Like if the Coinbase app is the number one app in the Apple Store, then that's an indicator. That happened with a moonshot for meme coins. It was just like demolishing all financial apps on the Apple iStore on Apple App Store. That's kind of what indicated, like, the, I wouldn't say the meme coin top, but it was a cool indicator of, man, people are coming on by the droves. And that was, of course, because of the Trump meme coin. Everyone wanted that. So yeah, definitely look at the Apple App Store as one of those, and Google Trends, definitely.
Yeah, I utilize this information. I think it's pretty spot on, honestly. One massive indicator is over the weekend, I've had a handful of group text messages that I thought have been dead since 2022 resurrect themselves from the ashes, talking about all things like Pengu and Pudgy Penguins and just altcoins. And I had a handful of them come alive. So that indicator, altcoins being searched on Google Trends, it feels like we're starting to get booed up. I don't think we're there yet, but this is the making of it.
Yeah, let me, again, big Google Trends guy, so I'm just going to pull it up and kind of showcase here. We got the overlay. So altcoins are in blue, meme coins are the reddish orange there, and this is a five-year timeline, so we could, you know, I think 5 years good, but here's also just a year. You know, obviously we had a cool run-up, you know, earlier in the year in January, in the cool-down period, Liberation Day, where we've talked about, you know, everybody had some really good buys down there if you're paying attention. But I think the coolest thing to do is if you do the 5 year here, and I think this is, again, we always like say not personal financial advice in any way, but this is where you can find some of those gem opportunities that I know you guys pull when you're doing your research and you're studying, because here's what happens when you add just Ethereum, right? So if you add just Ethereum, you can see how much more search goes into Ethereum than our other two altcoins and meme coins specifically. And you can see the little pop-ups there, especially for the meme coins, definitely had a moment in the sun, but you can see how dead it was and how the average public obviously is searching for Bitcoin and learning what Ethereum is as well. But, you know, I think this kind of showcases that if you're putting in the time and the research and you have a good strategy and know what you're doing, you know, that's where the opportunity is, especially in the meme coin market, which you guys are special, your specialty is, because this is stuff's coming basically out of nowhere, right? You got to figure out how to find it early. And then, you know, I think like Mudang is a great example, right? Like how can you figure out, you know, how to pick the right Mudang coin, the one that takes off while this, you know, cute little hippo is literally taking over the internet. And so I think that's an interesting kind of just comparison, is when you plug that in or you remove it, obviously there's people searching for this stuff, but not highly as much as your traditional, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum.
I love how meme coins is higher search, more search than altcoins, just selfishly speaking.
Yeah. I mean, I think it kind of goes back to the whole theory behind it, right? It's internet culture. I mean, you know, everybody kind of has their own viewpoint on it, but you know, it attracts attention. It attracts dollars, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, they're running hand in hand. Some meme coins are becoming altcoins, and a lot of these altcoins are like decentralized exchanges that thrive off of the revenue of people swapping in and out of meme coins. So if altcoins are going off, meme coins are probably going off. They go hand in hand right now. We've seen huge moves in the meme coin market.
Yeah, I mean, overall market cap alone, you guys brought up this great chart. You know, looks like it's blowing past that. If you want to do some technical analysis on that chart, looks like it's blowing past that little resistance point there and going back towards, you know, what would be considered all-time highs, which would also, you know, you overlay the Google Trends over this chart, and that's where you're going to find your peak there. So, you know, the money attracts the attention for sure. But is there, you know, any stuff on, is market cap something that you guys track kind of, I don't know, week to week, month to month? Is that something you guys keep your eye on?
Yeah, it's a huge indicator for us. So, I mean, almost with a lot of these meme coins, Joe and I don't even talk about, like, it's 0.004 cents because some of them can be such micro caps. So we talk a lot of terms in just terms of overall market cap. And to see 85 billion with a B added to the meme coin market cap is certainly impressive. And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think 15 billion of that was Dogecoin.
Yeah, we saw some major moves. Some singular meme coins added 2 billion over a span of 2 weeks. So big movers.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on. I guess it's time to kind of dive into the trenches, fellas. Let's go into what your guys' specialty is, which is the meme coin markets. And last time we talked, it was Pump Fun. We were getting ready for the launch, and we watched that wild video. I still think about that. And I guess we didn't really know how it was going to turn out. So I think we need to set the viewers of, like, let's talk about how it launched, what happened that weekend, because I know, Brian, you were kind of on the edge of your seat, you know, waiting, seeing if it was worth getting in. And then we can kind of talk about where we are today, because I know that, I guess, spoiler alert, the valuation is kind of below where it started or went live on the ICO. But let's talk about that whole process, what went into it, what you learned from it, and then we can kind of break down where we are today with it.
Yeah, so Pumped Up Fund, one of the largest Solana platforms where you can launch and create your own tokens, or specifically meme coins, had their ICO, raising about $500 million, I believe, at a $4 billion valuation. So it was a very interesting time. You couldn't be in the United States to get into the ICO. A lot of people in the space got in the ICO. I was personally very, very bullish on it doing very well, but we did talk about it on the show and with our private community that we needed Pumped Up Fund to do some proper, you know, buybacks and burns, revenue shares, and we're still waiting to hear if and when a lot of the OG users are getting an airdrop. We have seen it ever since the original ICO. We have now seen it drop below that initial raise valuation price. So it's down about 15% just recently. So it is kind of having a hard time. It's been bleeding out ever since the initial release. I was really excited for it. We were worried it was going to be possibly, if that happened, a liquidity suck on the rest of the meme coin market. That did not happen. We saw a lot of meme coins, especially on the Solana ecosystem, actually pump without an airdrop from Pump.Fund. So I'm just fully still unpacking exactly what happened. It looked like the ICO wasn't as beneficial to get into early on, because right now, as of today, you can buy in under the valuation price. But I think that has a lot to do with a lot of the communication from Alon and the Pump.Fund team. He did some recent podcasts just recently, I know, just like yesterday and today, or streams, I should say, trying to get people amped up about the Pump token. But right now, we're below where people could initially buy this token from an ICO price. Not what you're expecting, but we've seen some really positive action in the rest of Solana meme coins.
Yeah, for sure. I'm waiting for Pump to do, you know, some activations with all the money they raise. They just said they paid out $12,000 in creator streaming fees. Ryan, you know, we're looking for that to be a lot more, because we talked about it being a $100 million fund. So definitely not seeing that yet doesn't mean that won't happen. And there's a competitor we talked about. You know, they have competitors on all blockchains, right? Binance, on Solana, they got Jupe itself. And then the one that's stealing the most mindshare right now from Pump Fund is Bonk's meme coin launchpad. And if you want to put it up, Tivor, I can. It's a little bit different, right? Like, if you click on the menu button, what makes this different? Just top right and click on revenue. It what it does is that it generates revenue off of its meme coin launches. Just click on the revenue button. And what it does is that it takes a revenue, and you scroll down a little bit, and it uses it to buy and burn Bonk. So it has $2 million in fees generated in the last 24 hours. 50% of that, if you scroll down a little bit more, will be utilized to buy Bonk a little bit more. And that's crazy. So, and then they're also utilizing it to buy Bonk Soul, which is basically buying Solana so it doesn't escape the ecosystem. And you know, of course, they're giving rewards to Bonk holders. So there's a lot of good meme coins coming out of the Bonk launchpad. And that's kind of where the mindshare has been before Pump launched a token. And it hasn't gone away. We thought, you know, it's, you know, Pump's going to do something crazy and demolish the competition. But Bonk has held strong, and a lot of their meme coins are popping off. So, you know, we want to see what Pump can do in comparison with this. They're, like Brian mentioned, buybacks, right? Well, Bonk's doing that every single day with Bonk, you know, under with their Bonk token. So they already are, you know, up and running. And I think Pump's got a little catching up to do. Not say they can't do it, because they got the streaming aspect and they could, you know, create, you know, a lot of marketing with that. So just interested to see what they do with the treasury overall. I'm waiting for a bottom. I'm looking for a dip buy.
We're seeing a little Hatfield McCoys happening in the crypto world right now between Bonk and Pump. And I think they both have a path for success, but it's interesting to see them both kind of this work out in real time, with now they both have respective tokens for the platforms, and the market's going to pick which one they like more, if not both.
And yeah, actually, let's dive into this Bonk. I don't know what you call it. What would we call this?
Memecoin Launchpad, just like Pump Fun.
Memecoin Launchpad, and that's tied to the Bonk token, correct? The original Bonk token. And so there, this whole, you know, dashboard overview of the revenue distribution is kind of showing its utility, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's confusing because a lot of people think Bonk, you know, just think Solana. It's launching the same as Pump Fun, both on the Solana network. But what Bonk does is it uses the Solana to buy Bonk and burn Bonk. So it helps with the Bonk ecosystem. So if you're a Bonk believer, which many people are, then right, this is a great play.
Yeah, I've seen Joe McCann from Asymmetric was tweeting about this, and I didn't really understand what he was talking about until you guys just explained it to me. So now it makes a lot of sense that he is quite bullish Bonk. But not only is he bullish Bonk, fellas, he is bullish Pengu. And again, like I said at the jump, it's not a rundown if we don't talk about Pengu. And I think we just need to start by, you know, if you guys don't mind singing along, just, you know, happy birthday to Pengu. You know, happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday,
dear Pengu. Pudgy the Penguin. And Pengu, happy birthday. So, I mean, what an epic week to have your birthday, or day even, because I think Pengu just eclipsed all-time highs. And obviously the pudgy floor price is rising by the week here. And so I didn't know, you guys put a lot of links here in the sheet. So direct me on how you want to give the people a pudgy update here.
Yeah, Pengu's absolutely ripping. I mean, it feels like it's just been nonstop. Is it at its all-time high, Joe? It probably did. It just passed its all-time high and just barely did. I think it was January 6th.
And it sold off.
Yeah, we just kind of eclipsed it. It just feels like it continues to go up. And Joe and I have been talking about this forever within our community. The world of NFTs and meme coins kind of making a baby. These brand coins taking off under the right leadership, integrating Web2 aspects. You can buy plushies in Walmart or on Amazon. I've never said the word flywheel more over the past couple weeks with all these, like if it's a launch pad, if it's these Pengu or REC tokens, flywheel, these buybacks and burns. But this is what we've been saying all along. Not all meme coins stay a meme coin. They evolve to something more. And we're seeing this in a lot of different coins. And Pengu is, I don't know, it's like the number one meme coin in mindshare. It's the number one meme coin I'm personally holding right now. And even though we just eclipsed an all-time high, I feel highly underexposed.
Yeah, the meme coin ecosystem, I like to tell people, is just altcoins 2.0. Like everything we wanted with altcoins is just easier to digest with meme coins. The utility aspect, like Pudgy Penguins teamed up with Lufthansa, the airlines. If you buy Pudgy Penguin t-shirts with, you can do with the Pengu token, you earn miles with it, right? Like the utility aspect is definitely easier to digest than reading a 20-page white paper from XLM. I always pick on XLM. I'm sorry, that's the only one I remember from 2017. There's plenty more like that, right? Brand recognition. The faces of these memes are cute, cuddly animals. What's the face of XLM? I can't even tell you what it is, right? Like, take a look at these cute little pudgy penguins. My niece, I saw her this weekend. She's like, can I? I told her, I'm going to San Diego Comic Con. She goes, can I get this cute, pudgy, squishy? And she just loves it, right? Like, she wouldn't say that about an XLM token or like a REC token, right? So it's just cute and adorable. And then they have product, right? So this is the NFT, and the NFT is worth, you know, $60,000. So no one's going to buy that, right? TiVo, like no one's going to buy that right now.
Right.
But here's what can happen with the flywheel that Brian's talking about. So if we click on the Pengu Flip Doge thesis. It's not even a thesis. You know, a lot of people are calling for it. Is Pengu has, if you scroll down to the Amazon and Target a banner, it's not too far down. So right there, right, scroll back up. So Pengu has products globally and in all the stores that you see right there. And this hasn't happened yet, but everyone who knows about Pudgy Penguins knows this, that the founder has promised anyone who has the product will get Pengu. So if you look at this, if you look at my little pudgy penguin right there, it comes with a QR code and you can register it on chain. So anyone who buys a pudgy toy, I'm talking about a squishable, I'm talking about an article of clothing, you're going to get Pengu. I don't know how much it is. It could be a dollar, a few cents, but it doesn't matter. It just encourages the flywheel that Brian's talking about. People is going to want to buy more to get more Pengu. And if Pengu goes up, why wouldn't they just buy more toys? It just keeps on. It's like an echo chamber. It's the basically the Bitcoin strategy, but with meme coins. And if and the only two brand coins that have really done this and incorporate this in a meaningful way, and the proof is in the data, is Rec Drinks and Pengu. So is it impossible for Pengu to flip Doge? The answer is no, because they haven't even activated this yet. They're the number five, top five meme coin right now, right, Brian? At 3 billion market cap, something like that. They haven't even done anything. They haven't even activated the toy Pengu drop. They haven't even launched their blockchain, which will incorporate and burn Pengu. I just told Brian before we jumped on his rundown, like, I think I just might have convinced myself to put like my entire bag into Pengu and just call it a day and sign off.
Not financial advice. Not financial advice.
And it's a, what is it from here? A 20-40x to catch up to Doge? But no surprise if it does, because it's meme coins.
Oh man, that would be great to be on a ride like that. That would be fun. That would be fun. But I mean, I guess why not us, right? I understand that the flywheel, man. I'm gonna start saying that all week too now, Brian. The flywheel, and like, you know, I guess we want as many people to listen to the podcast as possible. But also, I'm thinking like maybe I don't want my brother to see this part, because like I'm just gonna keep buying my nephew Pengu toys and hoping that I get some massive airdrop. So it's like, you know, it's a nice thought and gesture, but it's really just to get more Pengu. So I, you know, maybe this is a little bit of something we might want to keep a little bit of a secret for some people.
I told my wife, just, I think it was yesterday, we're like riding in the car and I'm telling her, I'm like, NFTs are back, meme coins are back, like just like, you know, chirping her. And she's just probably like wants to like stick her head out the window like Ace Ventura so she can't hear me. But I'm like, and if she's like, oh my God, NFTs are back. Great. Like, how are the pudgy penguins doing? I was like, oh, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, remember, like, I told you to buy those pudgy penguins. This is, like, when I worked for DraftKings. And she was like, that's the one NFT I love, like, because she just thought they were cute. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, Big Daddy never bought those pudgy penguins. And she was, like, pissed. She's like, how much are they worth? And I'm like, 60K. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just fumbling generational wealth over here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We have a bag of Pengu. I mean, that's actually feels like that's the play anyways. Buying the NFTs are great, but it does feel like the token's been outperforming the NFT right now, but they go hand in hand.
Interesting. And I think we kind of touched on it. I think we just last, well, no, second to last point, because then we have a clip from Luca Nets that we'll play. But that when people started changing their profile picture on X to Pudgy Penguin, I definitely just want to reiterate to like the listeners of people who aren't on crypto Twitter all the time and might have not heard of this story. I mean, it was a marketing masterclass. Talk about getting exposure to an entire ecosystem of crypto Twitter by spending literally $0. Like it was shocking. I mean, I think I don't want to speak out of term and say somebody who didn't do it, but it felt like every single crypto focused Twitter change their PFP to Pudgy Penguin. You know, I was telling about the Joe McCann from Asymmetric. He did it. Bitwise Investments did it. You know, Joe, who were some of the bigger names? I know you had them on the back of your hand there, but like some big names did this.
Yep. Coinbase, pretty much everyone.
Polygon. Yeah, they were everybody. Like if you were
Coinbase,
a big web
Polygon,
name.
I think Binance did. I was waiting for Robinhood to do it. Yeah, all the, I think, you know, Kraken, Gemini, like all these exchanges started doing it. Like it was a masterclass. And I think this was at the point where everybody realized like, all right, yeah, in a month we're up, you know, 300%, and 3 months we're up 500%. So, you know, the hype was there. And maybe, like you said, Brian, like a cool off period is needed, but you still feel underexposed a little bit. Like, after we just went over what we went over, it's a, yeah, I have a fat bag of Pengu as well now, but it's hard to like leave the ecosystem. It's almost fun, right? Like it's very fun to be a part of it. It's in the news. It's part of the culture of crypto right now. Yeah, it's a different vibe, kind of like Joe was saying, where like, yeah, just pick a random token that you like, and it's just not as fun to hold it as it is Pudgy Penguin. And I'll tell you what, it's not as fun to give it out as a pick, especially when you're right. You know, I told some friends and some cousins about a month ago, like, hey, you know, Pudgy Penguin and Pengu, like give it a whirl. And they're like, what's that? And then I'm just like, yeah, it's a meme coin. And they're just, you know, they're not in the space. So they just kind of, you know, brush it off. But like, man, a little victory lap on something called Pudgy Penguin is a hell of a fun time. I'll compare that to Joe's example. No hate on XLM or any other, you know, coins, but like saying you made 300-400% on projects, you know, whatever is less fun than saying you made 400% on Pudgy Penguins.
Yeah, you nailed it, man. That's exactly it. It's the altcoins are great, you know, but you're talking about like a new layer two blockchain or a decentralized exchange where the fees are cheaper and there's a burn back and buy, like great, or like Pudgy Penguins. Hey, I just saw it on CNBC. I saw him ring the NASDAQ bell. I was at Walmart with my kids and buying them and scan these QR codes and you get the Pengu token. It's a completely different vibe. Good to have you on the meme coin team, Tivo. And this is how it is.
Yeah, the last time we were on, I gave you guys the example of like ringing the NASDAQ bell for a meme coin as Pudgy Penguin rang the NASDAQ bell is the same as a man walking on the moon for the first time. It's never been done. So like when you're saying is in a visionary sense, like we could flip Doge, we could do a 10x, a 20x from here. And it's like, well, maybe, maybe not. It's not financial advice, but like if it does happen, you're going to look back and be like, man, I saw this Pudgy Penguin ring the NASDAQ bell and it didn't click.
No.
And I just think that would haunt an individual who saw that happen, knew what it was, and didn't even, you know, take a ride with it, even if it was just for fun.
Yeah, so we can all agree Pengu's the future of finance then?
I don't know. It's like Fartcoin has the same vibe of like it's just funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's just funny and it can catch on. But I feel like that could be more volatile to the upside and the downside when it's just like a joke like that. This definitely has the feel of community, which I know is something that you guys preach in your research is you got to find that community. Like I'm all in. I'm all in. I want to go buy some Pudgy Penguins at the store. Like I think it's a really, really fun thing. And I guess, again, it's fun when you're up, right? So it's easy to dive into that community when things are ripping. So you got to take that with a grain of salt if I guess things go the other way. But I don't know. Well, and this Luca, the final thing is this Luca next guy, I mean, great on pods, active, you know, in the public eye. And they keep – Pudgy keeps hinting, right, that they've done something big. And they won't tell us what it is, but they've done something big. You'll never believe how big it is what they keep saying. So let's listen to this clip from Luca, and then I guess we could take some guesses on what we think it might be.
Okay. Well, someone said that you guys acquired a company, and there was speculation it was OpenSea.
Yeah, I mean, we acquired a company. That's all I'm going to speak on. I'm going to announce it when it's done the time's
okay,
right.
Okay. When was this?
We acquired a company in December.
Okay. So you bought the low of OpenSea? No, I'm sorry. I can't. But
yeah, people are on X saying that if he actually bought it, like Pengu would shoot up 30% if he really did. But beyond just OpenSea purchase, the Canary, we didn't talk about Canary Capital, the ETF that has yet to been approved by the SEC for Pengu token and NFT allocation. If that comes through, I mean, that's what we're saying. You know, Doge, what, $88 billion at the top? Pengu's at $2 billion, $3 billion. It has way more network effect than Doge, you know? So definitely we're not financial advice, but Luca said that he's looking for Pudgies to be the face of crypto, and he's never going to stop until that happens. Right now, the face is crypto. I can't even say if it's true. It's CryptoPunks, right? $150,000 a piece. So $60,000 may be cheap, Brian. We may have to have you buy one on live stream still.
We're pointing fingers. I've been asking you to buy one on live stream. CryptoPunks got away from me a little bit over the weekend with like 88 of them swept for $8 million. But I don't know. I'm a believer in the Pengu. I'm a believer in the Penguins. You know, these brand coins, that's what they're calling them now. They're not just meme coins anymore. They're brand coins. You know, there's these maybe start out an NFT project, maybe start out as a meme coin, and then they break into the brand world. And Tivo, you know better than anybody, man, content and what sticks. That's what Pengu's doing. That's what Rec's doing. They're just like breaking down the old Web 2 brick and mortar, you know, style of things, and they're captivating a whole new group of people, just not us Web 3 degens.
No, for sure. And I'm glad you brought up Canary Capital, Joe, because I have a booking for us next week with the CEO of Canary Capital. So obviously a lot to talk about there, but you know that super producer Tivo is putting a Pengu on the sheet there. So that'll be a fun interview for the listeners to look out for on our Tuesday flagship interviews with Bryce and Brendan. But let's move on. I mean, it's not moving on for long because we know Pengu will be talked about not next week and the week after and the week after, because it is the hottest thing in the meme coin streets right now. But let's see, where are we moving on to? So, another flywheel. Flywheel's the name of the game here. We got wrecked. I got to see a wrecked drink, courtesy of Joe last week.
Did you drink it?
Got to taste it. Very tasty, nice. Delicious. So Joe, what are you seeing with Wrecked drink?
Yeah, this is big news. Wrecked has gone up 11 days in a row, all-time highs, 300 million market cap from the 20 we caught it. And they just announced, was it today, Brian, or yesterday? Let me see the date on there. Yeah, yesterday. They announced a collaboration with Binance.us. So you have to be in the United States, and they're dropping it soon. Details to be announced. But that's really cool news, because the treasury, since the overall market cap of the REC coin has gone up, their treasury has probably gone from like 70 to like $80 million. Is that an eagle that I heard? Amazing.
Yeah, I played the video here just to see in the background.
They are up 1,100% in the past 90 days to a $255 million market cap. Joe and I called it between 15 and 20 million. We're like, this wrecked coin is doing some big things, and it's just been an absolute rocket ship. This is, I think I could speak for Joe as well, like Pengu, wrecked, Fartcoin, not financial advice, but it doesn't get much better than a meme coin, like starting portfolio than those three.
Yeah, man, you guys have been on fire this year. It's literally unbelievable. And, you know, the stats are the stats. But, you know, always a great plug-in for you guys as well is, you know, we do this for free every week. We're going to have you guys on a bunch more. But if you are interested in checking out Brian and Joe's community, I'll always, you know, when they're on, I'm going to put the links down in the show notes below. So definitely check that out. And, you know, that's definitely the link to check if you want, you know, some insight onto Wrecked and Pengu before people are talking about it online.
Well, Tivo, before you move on from this post, the reason we wanted to bring this up is because if you're watching this live stream right now, this could be free money for everyone watching. So let me show you what I mean. Can I share my screen really quickly?
Yeah, for go for it.
All right, so
you're dropping some serious alpha here, everyone. I'm not gonna
yeah,
lie.
Yeah, so
this
if
is
you're United
States too.
Yeah, well, that's the reason we show it, because if you see here, I got airdropped REC tokens for buying the previous drop. I got about close to $1 billion. $1 billion. I don't no longer have to be here. I got close to 1 billion REC tokens locked. So they locked it to October. Very smart by them. I can't even access this. This is vested until then. But if you look at the valuation now, currently, so basically $690. Ooh, great number. $690.
Hell yeah.
For purchasing one case of REC. So I purchased $70 worth of REC, one case, 24 cans, and I got airdropped $690 as of today. Now, if this goes up, it'll be more. Not saying that this is going to happen for Binance,
right,
but I have strong feelings that there will be an airdrop of REC tokens for whoever participates, because they ask for your Binance US ID. They're like, give us your Binance US ID. Because what they're going to do, they're going to drop you some REC coin for buying a case. Off the record, well, maybe on record now, Brian. Brian was like, off the screen, Joe, he was like, I'm about to buy 20 cases. I'm like, hey, some X guys bought 200 cases and got a $60,000 airdrop. Not telling you guys to go do that, because they didn't put in writing that they're like, hey, we're going to airdrop you tokens for sure. It's their marketing treasury. They have about $70 to $80 million right now set aside in terms of Rec Coin to reward community. Is the airdrops going to happen forever? I don't think so. That's not going to be work. But if, you know, Sailor has taught us anything, is the treasury strategy has been working. So hopefully this flywheel continues and everyone gets, you know, paid to buy some Rec drinks.
I've spent worse money on worse things. I'll tell you that much. I've degenerated a couple grand into worse items. And I like the drinks. Like, I don't even want to take it away. The sparkling water, the flavors are great. And this new Binance can looks sick. It looks, I'm the most excited for this one. It's like the Binance Gold or something. Abstract Apple was gold. Good. Open Seas drink was good. But this Binance Gold, CZ got something up his sleeve.
Oh, you think CZ's going to crack a drink on the next live stream? I always wonder, what's his involvement? Like, he's like, he's not the CEO anymore per se, but you think he's around?
I mean, I think he chirps him a little bit through some encrypted decentralized app. I don't know. Who knows? But so Binance is the largest exchange in the world. I mean, it's absolutely massive. To have this partnership is big. But then when you look at Binance as of right now, their X profile is a wrecked guy. If everyone just remembers where this all came about, is you got a free wrecked NFT back in the old bull run. You could get it for engaging with like OSF and things. You get a free wrecked NFT. Holding that NFT, you were rewarded once they released their meme token. They were rewarded you tons of wreck tokens for just holding that NFT. In addition to that, if you had the NFT, you got equity in wreck drinks. So everyone has equity in this wreck drinks. And now they're signing partners like OpenSea, Abstract, Binance. And they have a ton more to come. And it's crazy. You buy a case. I think the first case I got, I spent $70 on. And at the time, it was like $70 in rec tokens I got. But I think that's eclipsed. That was like, well, it was like 20 million. It's probably worth a grand now. Not even sure where it's at. But this is just another point to show you how meme coins turn into these brand coins and turn into something big. I mean, we have Bonk, one of the largest meme coins ever, airdrop free to people who engaged on platforms or had the Solana mobile phone, gets Bonk tokens worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. You have Pengu holding an NFT, you get Pengu drop. Holding these wrecked NFTs, you get the meme coin, you get equity in the company. You're buying the, it's almost like, how is this possible? But then you see it does make sense because these companies are making revenue. They're making profit. They're just doing it a way that's not very conventional.
Yeah, I think that's the theory of being here in crypto is a great encapsulation of it. It's not what you're used to seeing. And I think we're going to cover this tomorrow of like the tokenization. There's starting to be some pushback. I know you guys brought it up and are informed on it. We'll break it down with Brendan because we have a couple more political things to talk about tomorrow about kind of the macro view of crypto. But this is it's a different way to do things. And, you know, whether it's tokenization of stocks or the flywheel of Pengu or the flywheel of Rekt, it's like it's such a unique way to look at things. And that's why, again, I loved bringing you guys on and doing these episodes because, you know, this isn't my specialty. It's you guys make me think differently. And, you know, kind of going through a couple of those things, you know, like the Bonk launch pad, I had to, you know, hey, pause, what are we looking at here? Like, I just know Bonk as a meme coin. I know the meme. I don't understand the launch pad. And you kind of compare it and break it down and learning about Pump Fund. So that's why these episodes, I think, are going to be really helpful for everybody because, you know, it's a triple threat. Every week you have an interview with somebody who's, you know, esteemed in the industry, whether it's Matt Hogan or next week we're bringing on the CEO of Canary Capital, you know, who's launching real-time ETFs. You know, you got Brendan doing technical analysis, kind of breaking down the macro. Brendan and I doing, you know, Bitcoin technical analysis and just the news. And then we have the triple threat with Joe and Brian kind of deep diving you into these meme coins and NFTs. So if you're somebody who's interested in that, great. You're going to love it. And if you're not, at least give these episodes a chance because I think they're gonna be really, really helpful to help you at least understand a bigger scope of the crypto markets. But let's wrap this up, fellas. So we got one more of just kind of the floor of NFT places are rising. So I guess that can, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you know, that's attributed to like the meme coin market cap rising. NFT prices are rising. There's more money coming into the system. What are you guys seeing?
Yeah, there was a Ethereum treasury company, right, Brian, that allocated was it $10 million into NFT-specific purchases on the Ethereum platform. So I'm not saying they were the catalyst for this entire rise, but many people think that they're the ones that bought the, was it 50, 60 punks, Brian?
Yeah, 88 punks for 8.5 million. I think they swept like 70 of them, but there's been just a run on CryptoPunks. That's like the gold standard NFT, 47 ETH, whatever that equates to, what, 170, 180 grand, something like that. It's, you can see all these ETH, these NFTs on the board. If anybody's been in NFTs back in the bull run, Ethereum NFTs were like the gold standard. We've had a lot of like Bitcoin ordinals and Solana NFTs, but with Ethereum storming back, buying Ethereum NFTs are super interesting. And this is like what really caused a blow off top at one point as well, is that back in the NFT bull run, is you would buy these NFTs and they would go up in ETH value and ETH would go up as well. So it's like a double whammy. So people are absolutely printing right now. And a lot of these projects on here are elite, like the punks, Pudgy Penguins, we talked about. Everyone knows Bored Apes. Crypto Dick Butts. Who doesn't love some Crypto Dick Butts? They're up to 1.88. But, and then a lot of notable art. Yeah, TiVo Show and CryptoPunk sales. Those were swept. 88 punks. 180 grand a pop. So someone's buying up NFTs right now. It does feel like NFT season will come back. I don't think we're fully out there, but we're seeing some really high-end NFTs go in notable art. It's the Fidenzas of the world, the squiggles like I have in my background here, the first generative art piece. Grifters, that's my PFP on OpenSea. Absolutely love grifters. It just, some really high-end NFTs are running. And this is how it starts, guys. This is a little Bitcoin dominance goes down. People start searching altcoins on the Google search. Pudgy Penguins meme coins are hitting, and then money starts to flow into NFTs, because not only do the price of ETH goes up, but the value of these high-end NFTs go up, and people start printing money. It's a really exciting time. People need to start paying attention because things are flying.
Yeah, and the last alpha I'll give everyone, if you want to pull up the Moonbird page, TiVo, is that there's a playbook, right? We saw it with Pudgies. We saw it with Wrecked. So me and Brian spend a lot of time in the trenches asking, what's the next brand coin that's going to pop off? So a lot of people are placing their bets on Moonbirds. Moonbirds right now, relatively cheap, $5,000-$6,000. Can't believe I'm saying that. It's a low cost entry. They just got acquired by Yuga from someone buying them off-board at Yacht Club. And everyone is hyped for them. They're going to launch a token. That's not the issue. It's what they're going to launch on a product side. What kind of flywheel are they going to do? So if I had to put a bet on one that hasn't, you know, become a true brand coin yet, a brand project yet, in the world of meme coins, Moonbirds potentially can be that. So we'll see in 2 weeks' time, TiVo. It'll be interesting to come back to this, because within the next 2 weeks, they're going to take a snapshot, meaning that if you buy the NFT before the snapshot, you know, you'll get some token, whatever they're going to call it. And then it'll be interesting to see what product they're going to come out with. But you know, there's quite a few different brand projects within the NFT world, meme coin world, that has huge potential. Brian and I talked about one that we talked to our private community about today. But here's some alpha for everyone. Just Moonbird. Take a look at Moonbirds.
Unreal. Let's leave it at that. I mean, that's basically what encapsulates what we try to do here. We bring, you know, bring some alpha, try to bring something, you know, especially on these, you know, meme coin specific, NFT specific episodes with you guys, trying to bring a curveball that probably the average audience listener hasn't heard of before. And you guys deliver that every time. We appreciate it, man. Top it up on 50 minutes. Brent and I always joke, we even try to do two a week, and we just keep going on and on because the markets are super hot right now. It's super fun to make content, super fun to be in the space. We appreciate everybody listening, and I'll be back tomorrow with Brendan for technical analysis. So make sure you check that out and enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you later.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine.
Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.